Hello there, thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose looking ahead to the final day of York, featuring the fantastic Ebor Handicap. Really looking forward to see what the lads fancy there. We've got three other races at York, two on ITV4 at Sandown. There's a couple of group races at the Curragh in the evening. And then on Sunday, ITV4 action from Sandown and some really, really big names are doing battle over the channel in Deauville. So tons to get stuck into. We will start, though, with the highlight of the weekend. And for many people, the highlight of what is four fantastic days at York. It's the 3:35 on Saturday. It's the Sky Bet Ebor over a mile and six. One of the great handicaps of world racing, I would say. I'm going to give you some indicative prices. Do shop around not just for best prices, but best place terms. I know that Skybet, the sponsors, for instance, are betting eight places on this, which is fantastic. At the moment, then, Hamish is favourite at round about 7-1. Sunny Boy Lister, 9-1. Illarab, 12. Miran, 12. Mount Leinster, 12. Tribal Craft, 12. Fajera Prince, 14s. Away He Goes is 16. Humanitarian, 16. Roberto Escobar, 16. Shanro, 16. Global Storm, 18. 22-1 bar. This is always a difficult one to solve. And having the first attempt to do so is Keith Melrose.
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal, isn't it? I mean, anybody who thinks they can take this with one and be dead confident is having themselves on, really. It is such a competitive race. Could have spent hours discussing what was sort of going to go out top in this race. But I've got two I'm going to put forward. The one, if you're just having a win bet in this race, the one that I think is sneakily, potentially very much group class, that hasn't run in that many group races yet, he did run in the Derby, is Humanitarian, who has only run twice since he ran in Anthony Van Dyke's Derby. He was seventh in the King Edward VII and then didn't run for 15 months. He won a race at Newbury by a neck from Dubai Future. And he just looked like a horse going places. The form of that race has been bumped quite a few times since. A lot of stayers that you recognise as progressive this year finished behind him. He should very much thrive at this sort of trip. And he's only gone up £4 for that. He's well handicapped just on that basis. So he's the sort of win-only bet. But obviously we're hearing that that your favourite's not got in. And the horse that finished second to Live Your Dream last time was Global Storm, another Godolphin horse. The one that some people expected would get very cynically taken out of the Ebor, but they've not done that. And have left him in. He's a horse I thought was going to win at Royal Ascot last year. He's only just started improving this year. The form of the Live Your Dream race that he won at Newmarket looks extremely strong. And just back to good form, because Amtiaz was third there that had won at Royal Ascot. Arthurian Fable was, I'm sure, placed in the Melrose last year. East Asia's been improving. Wojcinski was second at York earlier this week. It's good form. Back the form. Going again on Global Storm. And he's more of an each-way bet than Humanitarian. So if you're backing each way with those umpteen places, go for Global Storm. But the win-only bet's Humanitarian.
Keith, do we know why we've seen so little of Humanitarian lately?
I do not know, no. He is a massive horse. I watched the replay at Newbury. He's an absolute bear. So it could, and a lot of these sort of bigger horses are a little bit more prone to niggles, aren't they? So it might be that. That'd be my complete guess without hearing a word that John Gosden said on the matter.
Okay. You should have said not the smallest. That would have been good. They yeah. always say that, don't they? He's not the biggest, not the biggest. I found out the reason why, by the way, in Bloodstock, apparently, horse owners get very, very precious, apparently, if you refer to horses as small. I don't know why. If they're small, they're small. Some humans are small, some humans are big. But that's why you always hear people refer to small horses as not the biggest horse in the world.
You could have guessed that, couldn't you? It's always being precious, isn't it?
What does it matter? I mean, no one thinks Paul Scholes is any worse a footballer because he was quite small. I mean, it's weird, isn't it?
Very. Well, you do hear about players like Scholes. I'm not sure I know a particular anecdote about him, but you know, footballers that were smaller, you hear the stories. Oh, they nearly never made it.
Yeah,
coach thought they was too small.
Yeah, well, there was a time where if you were too small, you were slung out, and then all of a sudden, Barcelona produced that lovely team of Iniesta and Xavi and Messi, and small footballers came back into fashion. We have got very much off track. I want to know who DJ fancies for the Ebor, because it wasn't that long ago that he was really, really confident, funny enough, about a John Gosden horse called Muntahar in 2018 on this show, and that bolted up at 11. So have you found another Muntahar, DJ?
I think I have, Bruce. In the words of Keith Melrose, I'm having myself on because I strongly fancy a horse in the Ebor and I think I can have one dart at it. I'll tell you how I approach this race. Okay, Roberto Escobar, for me, was a horse that had Ebor written all over him from the start of the season. He was one of my horses to follow. He was one of my top three horses to follow for the season. And I said to myself, sure, he's going to be the one for me, you know, my loyalty and everything. And, you know, he's had a decent season. He's got good York form. The form of his win over Matthew Flinders at the meeting last year was really, really strong, novice stakes. And to me, he was the one I wanted to be on. And then I said to myself, right, he could have a chance off 107. He could have a chance and he could run well. And I think he will run well. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was in the first four. But I said to myself, if there was one horse in this race, tear it apart, okay? There was one horse that you were told after a race absolutely bolted up by six or seven lengths. To me, there is only one horse in this race that can do that, and that is Mount Leinster.
Oh.
Mount Leinster, Bruce, to me, has the potential, so much potential. And I think Willie Mullins knows that. And I think this is a horse who we probably don't give him the recognition he deserves. Now, first of all, he's tricky, okay? So, obviously, I strongly fancy this horse, but there are risks attached. He can be quite keen in his races. And, like, the Galway Hurdle last year was an absolute mess. He was back from about 12-1 into 5-1 for Galway Hurdle last year before the off. He jumped terribly. He was hampered. He made mistakes. He still somehow managed to finish sixth, okay? But if you look through his form, right, and you say to yourself, this horse absolutely annihilated Cape Gentleman and Arcadian Sunrise, who won the other day for John Queeley. Like, Arcadian Sunrise was 13 and a half lengths behind Mount Leinster at Listowel last September, getting £4 from Mount Leinster. There's people who think, I know David Evanson on RTV think Arcadian Sunrise had a massive chance at Cesarewitch. Cape Gentleman has proven himself to be a top-class horse as well. Mount Leinster hammered him. At the Curra last October, he signed off winning the Amateur Riders Derby really, really easily at 1-3. Like, this is a horse who has got loads and loads of potential. I think Willie Mullins realized that. He's only been beaten once on the flat, and that was when it was a mess of a race to Wonderlace from McCarney last year, with no pace, Patrick Wright at Mount Leinster really well settled, and Wonderlace just got away in him. But I think this is a horse with serious potential. Go back to his maiden hurdle win at Leopardstown from December 2019. He beat Entukas by 9 lengths that day. Back in third, beating 14 and a half lengths with Concertina, who obviously won the Mayor's Hurdle at Cheltenham and is a winning machine. To me, if there's one horse in this race, Bruce, and I have no doubt that Willie Mullins knows Mount Leinster goes well fresh, knows that potentially he was going to get into an Ebor off. He was rated 102 in Ireland. He's 105 in England. Knew that was the mark to get into the Ebor. I think he's had this race in his head for Mount Leinster for absolutely ages. He hasn't won it since Sesenta won the race a long, long time ago in 2009 with Gary Carroll. To me, I just think Willie Mullins and these staying flat handicaps, he knows what it takes. And if he's having one dart at this, you think how many runners he's going to have in the Cesarewitch. He has one dart at this. I know Saldia didn't get in, but I think Mount Leinster could be the one to tear this race apart. He's 12-1. Don't be one bit surprised if he goes off about 5 or 6 to 1.
Okay. The reason I sort of squawked when you said your tip is that this horse has been in my track. He's the most common name to pop out of my tracker because obviously Willie enters his horses everywhere. So Leinster, I was like, oh my goodness me. He's been in my tracker for about 5 years. He's going to win the Ebor, is he? Interesting. So DJ fancies Mount Leinster.
Bruce. Sorry, if he's been in your tracker, I spent ages looking at this yesterday when I was writing the analysis for this. Has he been entered on the flat in Britain this year before now?
I honestly can't remember. I must admit, I can't remember. But
because that's what I assumed what Mullins has done. I agree with DJ. He's absolutely just plotted him for this race. And you know, I looked right through that form at Listowel and all that. I was trying to see because there's a trick that the Irish trainers have that they enter them in British races because the British handicapper then has to publish their rating, and they just don't declare them, don't intend to. They do it to see what the rating is. And I wanted to see if Mullins had done that with his horse this year, and that was why I was asking.
Yeah, no, I apologise. I mean, it just seems to pop up a lot. But if my tracker had a sponsor or a sort of a figurehead, it would be Mount Leinster. So DJ fancies Mount Leinster. Keith fancies a cheeky little win bet on Humanitarian with Global Storm as his each-way alternative. Thank you very much, chaps. Okay, let's do the other three ITV races at York, starting with the 150. It's the Sky Bet and Symphony Group Strensall Stakes. It's a Group 3 over a mile and one furlong. Is Real World the real deal? He's 5-4 favourite. It's 130 My Oberon. 6-1 El Drama. 10-1 Lovely Old Lord Glitters. 12-1 Bar. David Jennings, have you got a strong view on this one?
Not a strong view. Well, I do have a strong view. I won't have a strong bet. I think Real World will win. I know it's a little bit harsh, but I do think My Oberon has been disappointing. And that might seem ridiculous to some listeners when, you know, he was only beaten 3.25 lengths by Love in Royal Ascot and was just beating a neck in a group on a long jump before that. But I actually thought the world of him last season. I thought he was going to be the real deal, and he just isn't. Ratings suggest that Real World is going to be very hard to beat, rate 116. And odds against, it's probably pretty fair, Bruce.
Righty ho, Keith, do you concur?
Yeah, basically, Real World should probably be odds on. The only thing that nearly got him beat at Newbury last time was finding that trouble and being a bit free through the early stages. Now, he's a furlong down and trip here, and they tend to come more at the middle at York when there's at Newbury. They tend to stay on the far rail. So absolutely nothing that nearly got him beat last time would remotely be here today, and he's still won impressively at Newbury. He's just a Group 1 horse against horses that are at their level.
Okay. 225 at York is over a mile and six. And we've got the sponsor with us. Keith Melrose has teamed up with Skybet to sponsor this. It's the Skybet Melrose Handicap Heritage. I do that joke every year and it's never funny. Anyway,
I like this.
Oh, good. Thanks, mate. It's wide open, as you would expect. 13-2 Dushan, 9-1 King of the Castle, 9-1 Summer's Night, 11-1 Moshawar and Surrey Gold, 12 bars. I'll give you a clue on who's offering big each way prices. Sky Bet the place to go at a fifth, the seven. You can get six places at William Hill and Betfair. Do shop around there, because obviously sometimes if they're offering extra places, you're a little bit skinnier on the win part of the bet. So we'll start with Keith Melrose on the Melrose.
Yeah, obviously it's a massively difficult race and very competitive. And even though, you know, I've done the ratings for this race this morning because it's technically in my division, it's not my race in a lot of ways. I counted, and of the 22 runners, only 9 have actually run over a mile 5+ already in their careers. So you're having a little bit of a stab in the dark if you're looking at the staying races. I thought Huey Morrison had the winner of this race weeks ago. I thought Vino Victrix, that's the Melrose winner. It had won two very strong races at Sandown and Kempton on its previous two starts. I said, Melrose. It's going to go in that race. It'll go 8-1, probably win. But he didn't even enter Vino Victrix, did Huey Morrison. He entered Surrey Gold, who's only run once since May. And maybe Alpine Stroll, who's in this race and improved since. But he beat her by 7 lengths. He beat the rest by 10 lengths plus, including a horse that runs elsewhere today, of Alan King's, that won on its seed at Nottingham next time. It looked a really... It's a performance of a horse that could have been listed class. He got put up £12 to 87 for it, and then last time at Ascot he flopped a little bit behind First Light, but that was a nothing race. You know, he was 8-9 beating 3 lengths, and he spread a plate. He just looked a little bit too slow for a speed test at Ascot. He's been safe for the Melrose, I'm sure of it, and a mile 6 round York's going to be much more his thing. I think Surrey Gold is the one I'll be putting up in the Melrose.
Thank you, Keith. DJ?
I'm a big fan of King of the Castle here, Bruce. Top weight, but rated 96, and I think he's got loads more to offer. Now, this is going to sound ridiculous. 66-1 with William Hill for the St. Ledger. There are way worse 66-1 shots than backing King of the Castle for the St. Ledger, because I know they think quite a bit of this fella in Ballydoyle. He's a brother to Serpentine, who obviously won the Derby last year. And there are some pieces of form here that make this horse ridiculously well handicapped. Go back to a Leopardstown Maiden back in May when the Mediterranean beat him. Wayne Lordham rode him that day, missed a break, was bumped, had to get a reminder to get to the front, and then he went a serious tempo, went about 4 or 5 lengths clear, travelled really well through the race, but the Mediterranean just had his measure inside the final furlong. The Mediterranean is now rated 109 and was second to Yabir the other day in the Group 2. So that, to me, is really strong form. And even when in that maiden that day, the likes of Citronade, who finished 7th, has won twice since and is now rated 94, I think that's strong form. You can forget the Ulster Derby run at Down Royal, missed a break again. And that could be the problem. If he does miss the break, he can be quite sluggish away. But he was better at Limerick last time. He bolted up in a maiden over a mile and a half. He needs a trip. He's a galloper. He's tracked like York, tailor made for him. And I think he's going to, if he breaks well, gets into a prominent position, I think he's going to take the world apiece. I don't think he'd be going for the ledger after.
I'm looking through past winners. It's not exactly peppered with Ledger winners, I must say, but very impressive form figures, very progressive. 5-4-3-2-1. So we'll wait and see. King of the Castle is DJ's Melrose tip, and Melrose fancies Surrey Gold. Okay, let's move on to the 3 o'clock now at York. 7 furlongs is the trip for the Sky Bet City of York Stakes, a Group Two, and Space Blues, whose upward trajectory has faltered lately. He's 11-8 favourite. Then it's Primo Bacchio at 11-4, 8-1 Safe Voyage, and 11-1 Bar. Thankfully, we've got the flat eight this time, so there's some each way potential. Quite like the look of Pogo at 14-1. Who does Keith? No, DJ. Well, you can go first. Who do you like the look of?
Oh, this is the greatest 11-day chat of all time, is it not? Space Booze is just different class to these. I don't agree with your point on the upward trajectory going. I do see your point, as in form figures of whatever, 1-1-1-9-4. But last time in the Lennox, it was just a mess. It was a slowly run race. He made up his ground. He travelled, I thought, as well as he always does. The spark seemed to be there, but I just didn't think the race was run to suit. And then you can always forget that maiden form, I think. To me, he is rated 117. He's officially, I think, £3 better than anything else in a race. Sorry, £2. They're supposed to be rated 115. 7 furlongs, York, quick ground. He's just different class, Bruce. I genuinely think this is going to be so straightforward. I don't think William Buick is going to have to work hard to win this race at all. Tor should be odds on. I cannot understand why he's 11 days, and I'd advise viewers and listeners to take 11.
Okay. What do you make of that, Keith?
Yeah, he's right, isn't he? That's correct. Space Blues is better than them. And
thanks.
yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, it is. It's a horse that probably should be a shade of odds on. You're only not getting odds on because of those form figures. You can throw out the maiden run, and as DJ says, Goodwood, he was much better than that result, and it was his first run since he'd come back from maiden as well, so it's got that mitigation on top of it. He should just be odds on.
It didn't look to me like a classic Goodwood hard luck story, chaps. What am I?
Wasn't a hard luck story.
The race was...
And it came from nowhere, and yeah, his run sputtered out. It was nothing wrong with it. He was £7 off his best, and you could see him coming on £7 for it.
Okay, go on, DJ.
Charlie Appleby, the gent that is Charlie Appleby, any dealings I've had with that man, he is a hero. And I don't know, maybe he's not. I don't know, and I'm a terrible judge of character because I like most people. But that man is a gentleman. But anyway, he was interviewed during the week on RTB, and he is very few runners this week at York. I think he's only got 3, I think, in total, maybe 4. But he was asked about Space Blues, and he just came alive when he started talking about Space Blues. He thinks he's back, and I think he's back.
2 of his 3 are in this, because he's also got Glorious Journey. You are right, though, DJ. He absolutely is a gentleman. Lovely fella, Charlie Appleby, and great to see him enjoying so much success. Thanks, chaps. That's York. Let's do Sandown next.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to The Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, and Keith Merrows looking at 2 ITV races on Saturday afternoon from Sandown Park. The 205 is the Betway Solario Stakes, Group 3 over 7 furlongs. Reach for the Moon, owned by the Queen, is 4-6. Austrian Theory, 8-1. 9-1 Star From Afar. And then we've got Great Max 10. 12 Cresta, 14 Rerouting. Atherby, 66. Annoyingly, only 7 runners. What's the best way of trying to make some money out of this, Keith?
Yeah, it's a hard one, that, isn't it? It's because of the 7 runners, it's got a good each-way makeup if somebody else had decided to chance it. Maybe one day we'll get through a race without mentioning a Queen's horse and telling you who owns it as well. That's the other thing. I am terrible for that.
You're absolutely right. I must admit, I am a shocker for that.
You're far from the only one.
No, and noted.
It's, but I think it gets put in the prices sometimes a little bit almost as well. And he is shorter than he possibly deserves to be. Although he has got a jump on a lot of them, and I'm not sure about Austrian Theory's form. I strongly suspect at least the third best horse in the race is Great Max. The run in the Superlative Stakes last time, he was on the far side and only really faded in the last furlong, half furlong, to finish back in fifth there. He'd looked really good and winning his debut, and she was third in the Chesham the second time up. It's if he gets the seven better this time, I can definitely see him finishing on the heels of those first two. If it was an eighth runner, I'd say each way Great Max is a good bet. As it is, it's tough to know what to do. Maybe look for a bet without the favourite or something.
Okay. There's some good pass winners in here, DJ. Kingman, Massar, Too Darn Hot. Have we got something else of that calibre in this field?
Yeah, I don't think Reach for the Moon is too bad at all. And I, like, it's funny to say, I don't think 4-6 is that bad of a price. I know there's a few shorties now that we've said are bigger than they should be. I think this is another one. Like obviously, he's owned by the Queen, and that's a joke. I think his form is so good. Like, last time at Newbury, he beat Harrow. Harrow won the most valuable nursery in the world the other day at York and was well on top of the line, I thought. Was rated 84 going into that race. He'll go up to the mid-90s now, and Reach for the Moon basically obliterated him. Second, the Point Lonsdale in the Cheston. Point Lonsdale is favourite for the Guineas. Runs in the Charity at the Curragh. And they were nicely clear that day in the Chesham. He was 2-9 to win that Novice Stakes at Newbury the last day when he beat Harrow. There are form figures here, and obviously it's the Solario Stakes, and it's a Group 3, and you automatically think, oh, this is a much better race than the one he won at the last day at Newbury. But I think Harrow is a really good horse who would probably, if this race was in 2 weeks' time, Harrow would probably somewhere be around third or fourth favourite. So he was 2-9 to win that. He's 4-6 to win this. I don't think 4-6 is that bad of a price.
There's one in this field, chaps, who, when he won last time at Leicester, went straight into my tracker. He's called Cresta. Now, as Keith said, with only seven runners and a hot pot, it's hard to know how you're going to make money out of this. But just keep an eye on this horse, Cresta, trained by Martin.
Oh, he did well. He did so well to win. My God, yes, he did.
He did. So I shall be trying to find a way of getting with him. Okay, chaps, let's move on to the 240, the Betway Atalanta Stakes. Another Group 3 for fillies and mares over a mile. Indigo Girl is 3-1 favourite. Aurea is 13-2. Marmora is 7. So is Potapova. So is Saffron Beach. And so is Waliak. 12-1 bar. We've got 11 runners. Who's going to cross the line in front, DJ?
Bruce, I've got to give Potapova another chance. I fell in love with her when she won a red car. It was, you know, super race. 1-5. And she deserved to win, and she showed she was entitled to win as easy as she did. She won by 8 lengths. But there was just something that day that made me think, wow, she's an absolute star. So much so that I went into the Coronation Stakes at Royal Ascot thinking, she's got a massive chance and she's going to run a cracker. And she was disappointing. She only beat 2 home. But she was very fizzy and keen in the early part of the race. It absolutely lashed rain. The ground had gone. It was heavy ground. And for a filly who had only ran twice, to go into a cauldron like that when the ground is so heavy, it was a massive ask. She beat 11 lengths. Yes, she was disappointing. She lost her unbeaten record. But I go back to that red car run, and I thought she was a star that day, and I'm going to give her another chance to prove to me that she is a star. So Potapova for me, I think she is 7-1 best pick.
Keith Melrose wrote a brilliant column last Friday, about loyalty. And I did think of you pretty much the whole way through it.
It's always written about me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, right then. Who do you like in the Atalanta, Keithy?
Well, I could have written a column about loyalty and not mentioned DJ, couldn't I? He did get a name check in there. I think this race actually revolves around your favourite here, Indigo Girl. If she is as good as she looked last year, she should be even money. But you've got to have your doubts given the hold-up she had before she reappeared belatedly in the Valiant Stakes at Ascot. And she didn't run that well in it either. So, you know, there's certainly enough room there to try and go and get her beat. And if you are, I'd probably go with Saffron Beach, who hasn't run well the last twice, but obviously the first time was in the Oaks and almost certainly didn't stay. And then she was bumped. She was already going backwards when she got bumped in the Falmouth. And that was obviously just not a great run. But that is her first run outside of Group 1s since April, when she finished second to Sacred. In the Nell Gwyn. She was second in the Guinea subsequently. You know, she's just a little bit better than this grade. And now she's getting a chance to show it because she has been up against the very best fillies around. Look at that, Falmouth last time. It was, you know, Lady Beaufort and Alcohol Free and Snow Lantern and a lot of good fillies in there. There's only one, if that, in this race, Indigo Girl. And if you're looking to get Indigo Girl beat, Saffron Beach is the one to do it with. I think it's 7-1.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. I must say, and Skybet, by the way, are four places on that race. So very much something to bear in mind. Okay, Curra, the Curra even staged an evening. Well, it's a sort of tea time card. There's a couple of really good races in there. The 6.05 is the Alpha Centauri Debutante Stakes over Group 2. The two-year-olds, seven furlongs the trip. I don't actually have any prices, chaps. Eight runners go to post. DJ, I'll just throw it over to you. What's going to happen?
Well, I did the spotlights for this, Bruce, so I did my own tissues. So you'll see how good I am or am.
I'll read your tissue out then. 5-2 Concert Hall, 3 Agartha, 4 Twinkle, 5 Discoveries, 7 Mies Le May, and 8-1 Seisai, and 25-1 Bar. We'll see how accurate that is. Keith, do you think DJ's a good tissue man?
I honestly don't mean anything by this, but I don't think I've knowingly seen a tissue DJ's done ever. So absolutely no, I can't offer a view, can I? Sorry.
Okay, I think he's brilliant.
Well, I only am good at three things in life. I'm very quick at hiking backwards, you know, when you run backwards for some reason.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that.
I thought I was brilliant at table tennis until I played Paul Keighley, and my next best trait, I think, is tissue. I hold myself in high esteem, but... This was a tricky one to price up.
Okay. How did you find out you were good at running backwards?
Because it's a kind of a drill we do in training. And obviously during the sprints, like I know in my build, Bruce, as you do, I wouldn't be up the front in the sprints. So we did this thing where you had to do like run to one line and then run backwards to the end line, then run to the next line, run backwards. And I was behind. The next thing I ran backwards, all of a sudden I was like in front. So, yeah, I take on anybody in a running backward.
Brilliant.
Would that make you a good wide receiver, DJ?
It could, yeah. I wouldn't be bad at that, actually. Yeah, yeah. Last calling in life, maybe.
Right, 6.05. Who wins, DJ?
I actually napped Agartha, who I put in at threes. I think she will be threes because I think people want to take her on because some people think she got a freebie last time in the Silver Flash. But I was very impressed. The winning time of the Silver Flash was 0.08 seconds slower than the Tyrus won by Point Lonsdale. So very much the same time as Point Lonsdale, who bolted up and was pushed out to win the Tyrus as favourite for the Guineas. I thought that was a really good performance for Agartha. The look of an exposed filly going there, she was a maiden after four starts. Homeless Songs had beaten her strongly. But just a switch to front run and back, I thought was key there. She's rated 102. She sets a really solid standard. And I think she's getting better. She could be better at a mile. Joseph O'Brien won the race last year with Pretty Gorgeous. I think he's going to win it again. I just imagine Concert Hall being Aidan O'Brien and breeding and winning a maiden at the fair last time. I'd imagine Concert Hall is just about the favourite, but I think it actually.
Okay. Keith, do you want to join in the Curra conversation or sit it out?
I'll basically sit it out. I had a look at this race quite quickly and actually thought Agartha might be favourite, but that was about the length as far as I got on this one. I looked at the next race and saw the lopsided nature of it and thought, well, I don't know these horses well enough to delve in, so yeah, leave me out of these.
That's a polite way of saying you think DJ's made a right mess of the tissue of that.
No, Agartha could go off favourite. Like, she's one of those where it's really strange when you're pricing up a race. I think Agartha should be favourite, but I didn't put her in favourite, if that makes sense, because I think Concert Hall is a little bit sexier, like, because she's a Ballydoyle and won last time.
It's a horrible race to price up in that regard, you know, because you don't know these horses in terms of, yeah, the sexy horses. You don't know how the market's going to go for them. It's not a great position to be in.
Right. Two-year-olds don't come any sexier than Point Lonsdale, favourite for the 2000 Guineas. And I would say, I'll get DJ's view on that in a sec, surprisingly few really, really eye-catching Aidan O'Brien juveniles that we've seen so far this year. And bear in mind, September is only around the corner. Anyway, he puts his credentials on the line after three straight wins in the futurity over seven furlongs at 6:40 on Saturday at the Curra. It's a Group 2. DJ, I see you've put Point Lonsdale in at 2-7. There's only six runners, so are we just watching the Guineas favourite go from round about 10, 12 to 1 to 7, 8 to 1 here?
Yeah, he's only 7-1 with Paddy Power at the minute, would you believe? He will win, and I'd imagine he'll win quite convincingly. The opposition is not that strong. I put him in 2-7. I think that's roughly about right. The interesting one, perhaps, is the other point in the race, Gellibrand, or Gellibrand, is it, Bruce?
Gellibrand? I don't know.
Gellibrand.
No idea.
Like, that was a cracking run on debut in a maiden. Still a maiden, but was short head. Was probably the moral winner of the race. Didn't get a clear run at a crucial stage. And, you know, the form has worked out reasonably well, which Chicago Soldier was fourth. Banu Accord, who runs here, was fifth. It looked a strong maiden, and Point Gellibrand was...
I've thought about that, DJ. My old granny, when she used to live in Norbury, she used to, like, all her neighbours, she'd always refer to her neighbours by Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so. And she used to refer to someone called Mrs. Gellibrand. So I'd imagine on that basis it's Gellibrand, but I might be
wrong. Yeah, I'd say you're probably right. Okay. He's quite interesting, but Point Lonsdale should really win.
Okay, I'm very surprised that Mrs. Gellibrand has made an appearance in the postcast, but there you go. Right then, that's all the main action on Saturday, but we've got loads more to come in just a sec.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose. We've done the TV action. We've done those two good races at the Curragh on Saturday. Let's see what the rest of the boys fancy. There's loads of racing on Saturday. We've got the rest of Sandown, the rest of York. There's a Chester card. Beautiful Killarney hosts another day down there in the southwest of Ireland. Newton Abbott has its big... This is that meeting that always used to get rained off. I'm sure it won't, so there'll be a big crowd down at Newton Abbott. In the evening, we've got Lingfield and Chelmsford for all-weather fans. Tons and tons to choose from. David Jennings, what has your eye picked out?
I've gone to the sunny south to Killarney. And I'll tell you a funny story, Bruce. I'm going to tip a horse here in the 4:35 at Killarney, right? A horse called... The West Awake, okay? I was walking out of Galway on Galway Plate Day and Edward O'Grady was walking towards me. And I just said, hello, Edward, how's it going? I said, well done with the West Awake, I said. He ran a cracker. And he looked at me. I could see he was kind of looking at me going, what is this fucking Egypt talking about? Such a load of shit. I couldn't understand it. So I kind of forgot about it. I was busy. I was writing a report. So a couple of days later, something came up that ran in the Galway Plate or whatever and looked in. The West Awake, by Zed Edward O'Grady, ran a cracker. He finished 14th and was beaten 57 lengths. So I said to myself, what on earth horse was I watching during the race that I made him say that this horse ran a cracker? And you know what? I went back and watched the race again, Bruce. He actually did run a cracker.
Beaten 57 lengths?
Yes, he did. He ran an absolute belter.
Are you sure you're not trying to make the narrative? You're trying to atone for your error by rewriting history?
I'm not. I remember watching the race and thinking to myself, he was jumping and travelling well. Royal Rendezvous had the lead and was quite keen and set a decent pace. The West Awake went with him and coming down into the dip, jumped the second last in second place, jumped the last joint second and kind of got hampered and then got really tired because I don't think he stays at strongly run 2.6. And it was just pure stamina. He was legless at the end of the race. He's back to 2.5 miles on an easier track in Kearney. And I think the handicapper has dropped a £2. And Edward, if you're listening, I doubt you are. But if you're listening, I still think he ran a cracker in the Galway Plate. And I think he might win the 4:35 at Clarny. Earlier on in the card, in the 2:50, another old stager, Peregrine Run, I think could register a 19th win in this race. He's £14 lower over hurdles than he is over fences. And Peter Fatty has booked Tommy Brett, who's a £7 claimer. He's basically running off a mark of 132 over hurdles. This is almost a grade one chaser. Now, he's not as good as he was. I think he's got a massive chance. And just one other one at Killarney. I thought the very man can be forgiven a fall at Galway last night. He runs in the 4:00. I think he might be able to win that. I think the track is the very man in the 4:00.
Okay. A Peregrine Run will get a big round of applause if he wins this for the 19th time. That's a hell of an effort. I've never heard
For winning a race for the 19th.
I know. Yeah. I was only being silly. Keith, what have you got for us?
I'm going to take Edward O'Grady to task there, I think, because if your horse has jumped the last joint second, he has run a cracker, hasn't he?
Yeah, he didn't. Now, he was very nice, and maybe he did say, you know, oh, yeah, you're right, but I could see him kind of looking at me going, I'm surprised there.
Okay, because that would be very harsh of him to judge you on that, because that is the sort of thing that you there's not going to show up in results in the people the punters should be looking for. Absolutely. No, come on, Eddie. Humour him, humour him some more.
Are you allowed to Eddie him? Is that like calling him Willie Haggis?
Absolutely no idea.
What do you have to call him, no. DJ?
I wouldn't Eddie Edward, no.
I'd go with Eddie, no.
With Edward. Oh, I love the man. He was my hero. Like, he was the man. He was Willie Mullins not so long ago. Like,
He certainly was, yeah. Absolutely. Okay, Keith, take it away.
I've got three here, potentially. The Chester's due to get quite a lot of rain just before racing, and if that happens, Mirando's not going to be 9-2. You'll be about 9-4, if not shorter, in the 2:10, the listed race there. I'm anticipating that rain coming, and he's actually the best on form anyway. Dancing King's been put in his favourite, but his form look is getting torn to shreds by the day. So I do expect Mirando to potentially go a favourite there. The later 4:20 at Chester, I don't think it's much of a race for the money, the 2 mile race of 4:20. Land of Winter last time ran in a race behind Platform 19 and a Mark Johnson horse whose name I forget that runs in the Melrose, Golden Flame. And it was his first run of the year, Land of Winter, and he kicked on about five out. And he just got really tired in what was quite testing ground, beating 13 lengths. He ran the race of his life on soft at Nottingham last back end. And you got the impression from that run at Beverley, he's still got that in him. So, yeah, in a race that doesn't inspire me, that might have quite churned up ground by that point, Land of Winter in the 4:20 at Chester. And then Linkfield is 6:50. I don't particularly like putting up bets when there's not prices, but I expect, especially with Tin Fan Dango out, that Man of Riddles should be favourite and expect him to win. I'm just going to say this is the Tom Collins position in this one, because this is a half brother of Big Brown. I'm not going to put up any bets in America, but Man of Riddles is a half brother of Big Brown.
Or tell us you're on Sky tomorrow.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he loves
Sky
that
tomorrow.
Doesn't he? Wow, yeah, I'm on Sky tomorrow, so
absolute dab hand at promotion as TC. He's great at that, and he is very good at the American stuff as well. This is as close as I'm going to get. Close as I'm going to get to putting up an American horse, this Man of Riddles. He cost an awful lot as a 2-year-old, and I think he might just win these. There's a horse in there owned by the Queen, Bruce. Might be too short.
Oh, blimey. Thanks for mentioning that. Are you done there, Keith? Did we get three in there?
Yeah, that was my three.
Okay, and let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
We'll start with David Jennings.
Mine is actually in the Ebor, would you believe, Bruce? I'm going for the toughest race on the card, and my selection is Mount Leinster.
Thank you very much, DJ. Keith?
Mine has been very self-indulgent. It's in the Melrose. But I do happen to fancy Surrey Gold very strongly. It's to avenge the non-entry of Vinovictrix as much as anything else. But this horse has been saved for the race. He is going to improve for the trip. Yeah, I think. And even it's nearly as competitive as the Ebor. Might be more competitive given the profile of those horses. But yeah, Surrey Gold and the Melrose.
You did make a very good case for that, Keith. Right, then let's turn our attention to Sunday. We've got the old, the new Sunday series. Which is good. It gives us some more armchair TV action. There are, I think, 7 races from Sandown on ITV4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 7 races from Sandown on ITV4. So that's good. But I tell you what, Keith, you've got one for us there, haven't you? Give us your Sandown Sunday sizzler.
Yeah, so obviously it's the staying races all done. And I'm going to put up Kapala in this race. Form figures this year are not terribly inspiring, but was better than this last year. Ran the race over life, over an extended mile and five at Newbury, a class two last summer. And the run actually over course and distance behind General Zoff 2 runs back is completely solid. The General Zoff form, those three in front of her, Dance to Paris has won since, Tiger 10 came in great form. Sulachana, who was just behind her, that had been winning sort of lesser races for fun. I think that form's very much solid. She's down another £2 for that. It was just a blob at Kempton last time in a race Vinovictrix won. I can't explain it, but I know that with that behind her, and I think early prices had her in quite big, I think in a race that not too many are catching my eye, she's a really interesting horse.
So that's Kapala in the
5:45. I thought about mentioning it again, but I thought, no, I've said this
you
already.
You didn't mention it first time, mate.
Did I not mention it the first time?
No, you said the Stayers race. That's banned on here, isn't it? You've got to say what time. Of course it is. Why would we expect everyone to have to wade through and see which one of the stayers race when we could just tell them what time it is? Come on, Keith. I keep having to nag you, mate.
I know. I caught myself. Well, I say 5:45 here. I thought, no, I've said it already.
You didn't. I mean, it took a while for DJ. Now DJ's absolutely 100%, never puts a foot wrong. Right then, let's switch our attention over to Deauville. Two group ones on a cracking card. The first is the 250. It's the 6 furlong of Darley pre-Morney for two-year-old fillies. I don't have any betting here. There's 15 runners. Have you managed to make head nor tail of it, DJ?
Well, you've made a pig's ear of it anyway. It's not just for fillies, Bruce. The boys can play as well.
So it is, yeah.
The boys can play as well. The only thing is, I can see why you made that mistake, Bruce, because it has been a race that's been dominated by fillies in the last decade, and it's been a race that has a Queen Mary winners have a terrific record in, and obviously Campanelle was one of them. But Quick Susie runs here for Gavin Cromwell and Gary Carroll, won the Queen Mary, and she is lightning quick. But I think the value here is my old buddy Gubbas, who I thought it was excruciating to watch the Richmond. It really
loyalty
was.
Loyalty alert.
No, it's not. Alert. No. Hold on here a second, right? Gubbas has ran three times. He's won twice. And I thought he was the best horse in the race in the Richmond. Now, you can say that the winner obviously had paid for the gap and did remarkably well to win. But I just thought Gubbas, there's nothing I hate more in life than in the spring course at Goodwood, a horse that you fancy going towards the far side. I hate it. It drives me absolutely mental.
I'm obviously exaggerating. If that's the one thing that gets you down in life, then you're very lucky, DJ.
I tell you what gets me down even more is when, you know, when you have a tube of toothpaste that he twists the top of it and there's loads at the bottom, but you can't get out of the top because she's twisting the top. That bugs me more. Anyway, at Goodwood, In the Richmond Stakes, I thought Gubbas was probably the most talented horse in the race. And Sean Levy went towards the inside. I was just going, don't go there, please, don't go there, please. And then he went there. But anyway, I think Gubbas is a very, very smart sprint, a really smart sprint. And I think he'll prove it here. Gubbas.
Okay. We just about got that, Gubbas. We've got a bit of telephonic interruption for you there, DJ. Go a bit closer to your router. In the meantime, Keith, have you got a view on the Morney or should we move across to the Romane?
No view in the morning for me.
Okay, right. So at 3:25 at Deauville on Sunday, the pre-Romane is sponsored by Darley. 1.2 miles. This one is for female horses. There's 9 runners that go in. It's good to soft. The first prize is 127 grand. And we've got some real crackers in, including the beautiful Lady Beaufort, Cayenne Pepper for Jesse Harrington. I'm sure DJ will pick that. Thundering Knights runs. He's back to form. And we've got Ebeira as well. Some race this, Keith, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about as good as you could get for, you know, what's being offered. It's a smashing race, as it sort of tends to be, really. It's one of these races that gets almost skipped at Deauville because the Morney winner's often seen for either the Guineas or the Commonwealth Cup. And, you know, the Morris de Guest is a smashing race that brings together the 6 and 7 furlong horses. This is for a 1.2 mile race for fillies and mares. Yeah, it's well up to standard, and I'm going to probably. I mean, as I say, we don't have prices here as we're discussing this, but Odaria that probably wants another chance to beat Lady Beaufort. I thought Lady Beaufort was going to go loopy and not stay in the Nassau last time, but that's exactly what happened to Odaria, who won this race last year, who won the fillies and mares at the Breeders' Cup. So it's not something that's held her back previously in her career, but it did in the Nassau. And I think that recency bias might make Lady Beaufort favourite, but on form, there's not much to separate them at all. And I think Odaria might be her.
Who do you like, David?
I thought Ebeira would be hard to beat. I thought that was a good run behind Broom last time. And I think they're all much like, I think if like KM Pepper, Thundering Knights, Insinuendo, even Odaria, Lady Beaufort, like, I think they could all kind of run, you know, 5 times in a week and you'd get 3 or 4 different results. So I don't really know. I think they're all much of a muchness. I think Ebeira could be just potentially a little bit better than them. So I'm going to go for her.
Lovely stuff. Okay, gents, I think that's a wrap. Cheers for all your wisdom. good luck with your tips. And thank you so much for listening. Good luck with your bets. As we always say, please bet safely. Maddie's back on Monday to pick through the action. And we're back next Friday looking ahead to another great weekend of racing. So please keep it here for more great racing podcasts.